each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody and welcome. Hi Tony.
Hey Father.
Nick, over there. Happy day. Happy
snow day, whatever.
Snow day. Snow day. Well, let's begin with the Angelus and we'll move from there. Mm-hmm. We've got to begin with this prayer. We want to, not that we got to, we want to, we must, we need to. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. So how are you doing?
I know. It's life.
You know, but it's very interesting. I don't know. I tap into some of the Catholic podcast, very Catholic. I mean, when they pray or they make the sign of the cross, you know, you automatically do that.
Yeah,
it's a good habitual thing that we do, right?
And it is. It's interesting you say it that way. It has to be habitual because if you don't do it, I mean, even like when I sang the prayer out loud. There's a specialness to it that I wish, you know, I'm old now. I'm older. Done it over and over
again. Hey, if you're old, what does that make me? Where does that put me? But
well, I'm not trying to.
But you know, I find sometimes in the church, if I like in the context of the homily or something, if I mention the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, just in speaking, people will automatically make the sign of the cross.
Yes.
Yeah. It's very interesting, very beautiful. Yeah. So today I was at I went to the school. I blessed the throats of the students, and also I brought them. This is the first chance I've had to get back into the school since I've been back. And actually, the Feast of St. Blaise was Monday, and we had the blessing. I'm sure most parishes had it on Sunday because you've got a captive eye. You've got everybody there. And it's not the feast is not a holy day, the Feast of St. Blaise. Mm-hmm. But it goes back to I think it's the 4th century. St. Blaise was a bishop in Armenia. Mm-hmm. And as a story, as I understand it, a child was had been eating fish,
right,
and had a bone lodged into his throat and nearly died. But it was through the intercession, through the prayers of St. Blaise, that he was healed. And so down to, you know, since then, on his feast day, that's been the tradition, having the throats, you have the two blessed candles, and they're placed around the throat, and then the prayers through the intercession of St. Blaise, the bishop and martyr, may Almighty God deliver you from ailments of the throat and all other infirmities. And so it's always a, I remember as a child, too, it was always so special, but when I went over to the school, mm-hmm. So I wear the cassock. Whenever I'm in the school, I'm in the cassock, and which is the traditional, I was going to say, what the robe. Mm-hmm.
I was thinking robe when you said
robe,
it.
Robe, yeah. Yeah. I don't like to use the word robe. Right. I think of something different, but it's the garb, the traditional garb of the priest. When I'm in the school, I always wear it. And the kids, you know, they're just great. You know that these are moments of grace, because it's something completely out of the ordinary, right, for them, and they're very excited about this, you know. And so I was able to bless all the throats, and it was beautiful. And some of the classes, they were all it takes is the first person. So I bless the first student in one class, and he says, you know, thank you, Father, and then everybody said, thank you, Father. After, right. It was beautiful. It was really, really nice, very special. And then I gave them, when I was in Rome, I bought. I didn't give you one, did I? I have to give you a Nick and the staff here. I don't think I think I wanted to make sure I had enough for the students, but right. I've got it's a card, like a holy card, but a little bit bigger than the traditional holy card, but it's the image of the tomb of St. Stanislaus Kostka, because the other day I was speaking about that. I was there every day for 9 days. And then also the another card with the actual image of the St. Stanislaus Kostka in death in the room where he died. So there's, and it's just like the rectory here is attached to the church. So too the novitiate where he was studying is attached to the church of Sant'Andrea, and so the room where he died is very, very close. It's probably as close as my room is to the church.
Wow.
And so they've got in the room, it's a shrine now, because that's where he died, and it's they've got the, I think it's in marble, but the bed and St. Stanislaus Kostka lying in death. So it's really beautiful. And we've got actually in my little chapel here, the priest chapel, we have a little image. It's a replica of the St. Stanislaus Kostka on his bed in death. You know, he's holding, I believe, the crucifix in one hand and the Bible or the breviary in the other hand. So, and he died at the age of 18, 19, I think. Sometimes I read it was 17, but I think it was more like around 19 years old. Anyway, so they got that, and that's they get excited about that. You know, it's but you know what was beautiful is and I have to tell you this one little girl. The kids are they're great. You know, if you're ever down, you want to be lifted up. Just go, especially to the munchkins. I call them the little ones,
because like when they were here on the radio, and the kids were just.
They're so spontaneous and full of life and joy, you know. Little things make them joyful. But the one girl came up and she said, my mother calls me her little angel. You know, she calls me her little angel. I said, you know, she wanted me to know that, you know. So I said, of course, you know, you certainly look like an angel, right?
Right.
But the pre-K, preschool. There's pre-K 1, pre-K 2, and in one of them, they were coming, they had all been to the washroom, and they were coming back, and they were getting ready for their little snack. This was probably about 10 o'clock in the morning, maybe quarter to, no, it was about 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So they were coming, they were having their morning snack, which was, they have them in little cups, like those little fish, little goldfish, whatever they are, you know.
Yeah.
And but what was beautiful, so it was just perfect timing. So I got there, so they had their throats blessed, and then they're all sitting around their table, and there's one student who's the prayer leader that day.
Wow.
And so I saw him get up, and he so piously held his hands, folded his hands. He stood very, very in a, you know, very formal, very, right. You know, and he made the sign of the cross, and then all the kids prayed, "Bless us, O Lord, for these thy gifts," which we have, you know, the traditional prayer.
Good.
And it was just beautiful to see that, you know. I just think, isn't it what a grace, what a gift that we have that freedom to pray, to mm-hmm. speak about God, to offer blessings. You know, you can't do that. You know, you've in many places, and it just. My hope is that, and there seems to be this movement now towards, you know, allowing families to mm-hmm. choose. It's got to be legislated, right? But that families would be able to choose the school they want to send their children to, rather than the government schools where you right. can't, you can't pray, you can't speak about God. You know, it's just we're blessed. That's all I can say is we're really blessed. So it was a good morning. A little tiring too, you know, because the kids
they
drain you, but it's beautiful. And then the big kids, you know, the kids in the 7th and 8th grade, it's mm-hmm. just amazing. I haven't seen them since they left for Christmas break.
Except
well, though exactly, yeah
it's, you see it change
absolutely just in a matter of 2 months. Some of them come to Mass on Sunday here, mm-hmm. so I see them there, but most of them I don't, and was over there, and I thought, wow, what happened to you? Did I get shorter, or did you guys get taller, you know? But yeah. It's they're at that age where they grow so fast. So, but anyway, that's good. Let's see, what else is there today? I was reading, let me just pull it out here,
mm-hmm.
the reading for today, because I was looking already at getting ready for Mass in the evening, and we do want to talk about the presentation. We want to do that as well, but the first reading is taken from the Book of Kings. It's a continuation of the reading, but it's the death of David, King mm-hmm. David, and he gave. And this is how the reading goes: when the time of David's death drew near, he gave these instructions to his son Solomon. He says, "I'm going the way of all flesh. Take courage and be a man." Just hearing that was,
not what we hear today.
Do we? But we really, just to hear that. But now what does he say? "Take courage and be a man. Keep the mandate of the Lord your God, following his ways, observing his statutes, commands, ordinances, and decrees, as they are written in the law of Moses, that you may succeed in whatever you do, wherever you turn, and the Lord may fulfill the promise he made on my behalf when he said, 'If your sons so conduct themselves that they remain faithful to me with their whole heart, with their whole soul, you shall always have someone on your line on the throne of Israel.'" David rested with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. He had reigned for 40 years. But just to hear that, you know, "I'm going the way of all flesh. Take courage and be a man." So it brings me back to my reflections in Rome mm-hmm. and this so-called rebranding, but St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy, faith, virtue, valor, expressway to excellence. But the, you know, and it's not limited to men, but mm-hmm. but that men, young men, need to be mentored. They need to, rather than take from them their masculinity or to diminish what it means, you know, how do you, what makes a man a man? But that, as David said, keep the mandate of the Lord your God, follow his ways, observe his statutes, commands, ordinances, and decrees, as they are written in the law of Moses. And who was it, by the way? Was it Solomon or? In fact, this may come up later. I was just thinking about this the other yesterday, as a matter of fact, because I'm reading. I want to prepare for this, and I'm probably going to do this on the radio. This is my hope. But when I was in Rome, I and maybe forgive me if I mentioned this on Tuesday, but I think the third time that I've taken the last section of the Catechism of the Catholic Church and just used that as a point of reference mm-hmm. for my reflections, for my meditation, and it's the section on prayer, and it really, really is beautifully written. It's a complete. I mean, it's not a big section. Mm-hmm. I think the Catechism is broken off into four sections. The first is the Creed, what we believe. So it's all about creation and the Creed, what we right. believe. I think the second part is the sacraments. The third part, I believe, is the commandments of God, and then the final part is prayer, and it'll culminate in the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Our Father. But it's really beautiful, and I'm planning to do a. We've scheduled it. I've just got to have the time to prepare and to plan. And it's two retreat days, one in Lent, toward the latter part of Lent, a retreat day, one Saturday in Spanish, one Saturday in English, just on this section of the Catechism on prayer. Why do I bring that up? I guess because, I don't know why I brought it up. It just goes back to the you know, to be a man, you know, that to be a man is to be godly. Mm-hmm. Oh, Solomon, I know. I think it's Solomon, either Solomon or Samuel. I think it's Solomon.
I think it is Solomon.
Solomon, who prays to God. You know, I'm gonna have to find this, but I was thinking about it yesterday as I'm thinking about prayer mm-hmm. because I noticed there's a section in the. In this section on prayer, where it goes, you know, the prayer of Moses, or the prayer of Abraham, the prayer of Moses, the prayer of David, of course, the Psalms. We're looking at the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scripture, and the prayer of the prophets. So there's these different sections. But it didn't mention Solomon or Samuel. I'm thinking it's Solomon. It must be Solomon because he was becomes the king, and he prays that that God he's not asking for wealth or for
this is Solomon.
It is Solomon. It is Solomon.
I think I remember that.
But he's not asking for riches, power, to conquer nations, to build this. This empire, what he is asking is, Lord, give me, God, Yahweh, give me the grace to lead these people with wisdom. It was about virtue. Mm-hmm. In other words, let me be or allow me, give me the grace to be a virtuous king. And God was so impressed with what he mm-hmm. requested. That he blessed him, you know. We'll come into that eventually. Right. You know, I have a feeling it's coming up in the readings, but it's Solomon. Mm-hmm. It's Solomon. So, and that's why you know I forgot what saint we've talked about it many times on the radio here. But as you pray, so you believe. As you believe, so you live. So it has to begin with prayer, mm-hmm. which is really the covenant nurturing. Nurturing intimacy with God. It's a covenant. A covenant. We're in a relationship. It's a covenant. But that if we don't pray, and if it's not a prayer of humility, that and again, this is going back to the whole David saying, you know, be a man. This is all I'm asking is that you be a man. A man of God. I just lost take courage. Yeah, take courage. Mm-hmm. Valor, right? Valor goes back to the Saint this reflection with Saint Stanislaus Kostka. Be a man of valor. Be courageous. Encourage courage, you will be a man. In other words, defend and live the faith as God has ordained it so. And this would certainly be about virtue. But it all has to begin with, if there isn't the prayer, if we're not nurturing relationship with God, we can't, we're not opening ourselves to the grace, because it really has to begin. And this is where the humility comes in, because, you know, I can't do it without you. It's humbly acknowledging that I need you, I need your grace to fulfill my responsibilities, to fulfill my my obligations in life. That's for everybody. But so it's really just the opposite of being centered in self. It's being humbly centered in God and surrendering one's life to God and living, you know, thy will be done, right? Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take a break, come back. Let's go back to the presentation, and maybe I've got some notes even from the week before that will probably dovetail into this, because it's, and it's related to prayer as well. So, all right, everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
There is a lot going on at St. Stan's. St. Stanislaus Koska is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. There is Eucharistic adoration before the iconic monstrance, confessions 4 days per week, and masses in English, Polish, and Spanish. There's much more waiting for you here. St. Stan's is right off the Kennedy Expressway, just 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Find out more by going to ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org, and enter into the presence of Christ.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stan's School is enrolling now for the 2020-21 school year. St. Stan's School is a PK3 to 8th grade Catholic school in Westtown, committed to challenging students achieve academic and social excellence, led by action and example. Explore all that St. Stan's has to offer at ststanschicago.org or call 773-278-4560 or visit St. Stan's School at 1255 North Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway, just 1 block north of Division on Noble.
Welcome back, everybody. I didn't know the kids were here.
Yeah, so. I don't know how they got out so fast.
So, anyway, a couple of questions. I'm going to go back to a couple of weeks ago, you know, because we haven't been on the radio. But so these are some questions. And you just ask yourself, are you in darkness?
Yeah.
Is there a gloom enveloping your life or the life of your family? Are you often sad and depressed? Are you distressed and full of anxiety? Is your day too often consumed by fear? Do you feel empty and hopeless? And if you've answered yes to any of these, and I know you have, I think we all do, then something or someone may be missing from our lives, or the life of our marriage. And not saying your marriage.
Right.
I'm certainly not married. I'm wedded to the church, and so that is cause for some anxiety.
Does not all of those questions kind of hit everybody at some time? Which is that's
part of the
absolutely.
That's part of the well, it goes back to what Jesus says. You know, you're not going to have it easy here, which we'll get into that too. We bring that up all the time, because that's we have to be in reality, right? Family, it's the same thing. You know, it's somebody or something or someone missing from your family. But having asked a question, and to your point, yeah, everybody, there's a natural darkness inherent in this world. There are natural fears. Mm-hmm. There's distress is part of life. Anxieties are part of life. There's also a natural emptiness within us that nothing or no one can fill or fully satisfy until we rest in God. And that's I think that's a hard reality for a lot of people, because if something's wrong with me, why do I have this certain emptiness or this certain loneliness? It's part of life. Mm-hmm. But and again, in this regard, Jesus, he didn't hold anything back. As I just said, his basically his departing words to the apostles before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. I bring this up so often because I go back to it myself so often. He says, in this world, you're going to have troubles. You will have troubles, but be at peace. I've conquered the world. And he even chides us for not putting trust in him. Like in Matthew's gospel, he says, enough already. You have little faith. That's where he says, you look at the birds in the sky, provide for the birds, the flowers of the field, they're beautifully adorned. But are you not more important to me than the birds and the flowers of the field? So he says, enough already. And he says it just like that, enough already. You have little faith. Keep your eyes on me. And don't worry about tomorrow when today has suffering sufficient for the day. He says, I'm going to see you through this day. I'll be with you today. I'm with you today, and I will be with you tomorrow. So you keep your eyes on me, and keeping our eyes on Jesus means what? But that we follow him, that we follow him. So several weeks ago, because this was, it was just 2 weeks ago, that was the gospel, that Peter and his brother Andrew and James and his brother John, they left everything to follow Jesus, and he called them. And while they were called in a very, very specific way to leave everything for the purpose of shepherding the people of God, the church, the same call comes to all of us. It really, by virtue of baptism, this call comes to all of us to fulfill God's purpose for our lives and to do so with a deep interior peace. And this is a peace that really can come from no one but from God. It only comes from God because he created us and he's closer to us than we are to ourselves. So if we're bound by irrational fears, if we're enveloped in the darkness, it does not allow for the light. If we suffer emptiness and hopelessness, if there's inordinate distress and anxiety, it may be that we've blocked Jesus out of our lives or that we really don't know him. And so I had asked the people a couple of weeks ago, if somebody off the street were to ask you who Jesus is, how would you respond? What would you say? That's the question. And again, it's because we kind of make a joke about it, but when I say, how are you doing? And, it could be better. It could always be better. Could be a lot worse. But that's, it's like every day you wake up in the morning. It's as I always think of, you get up in the morning, it's like having to be born all over again because, you're comfortable. You're in your warm bed. I hope people are. And it's like, I got to get into the work of the day.
Wants to get up and have to do whatever.
Exactly. So it's every day, every day. If we're nurturing life in God, again, the question, how would you answer? This is if you remember.
Who is God?
Who is Jesus? Somebody off the street just comes up to you and they know you go to Mass on Sunday. They know you go to Mass maybe during the week. They know you're on a Catholic radio. You've got coworkers. You've got family members. You've got all that. Or just somebody who they say, who is Jesus? How would you respond? What would you say?
Put me on the spot.
I'm going to put you on the spot.
Let's see. I would
and
say,
you've got 30 minutes.
Yeah, you got 30 minutes to do it. I'd say God is the creator of the universe. It's to be honest, person that wakes you up in the morning, your relationship with God that created you.
But who is Jesus?
Who is Jesus? His son? Jesus is... Wow. I don't know how to put this in the words.
No, go back, because this. The reason why I'm asking is not that I mean to put you on the spot and your answer. Yeah, of course, it's God.
Well, it's good to know so you know.
Jesus is God. But if we go back to Christmas,
I see, that's easier.
Back to Christmas, okay? And
died for our sins.
Well, yes. Yeah, yes, of course. Mm-hmm. But why? For what reason? For what purpose? To save us.
Yeah, to save us.
To save us. So when the angel Gabriel spoke to the Blessed Virgin Mary and in the Annunciation and to St. Joseph in the dream, he told him, you know, you're going to name the child Jesus, Yeshua, which means God who saves, you know. God came to us, remains with us for the purpose of saving us. Mm-hmm. This is the two, you will call him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Mm-hmm. When I think of that, I always think of, you know, go back to the...
O come Emmanuel.
Farewell, O come Emmanuel. But the farewell discourse when Jesus says, it's better for you that I go, that I remain with you. God, Emmanuel means God with us, that he remains with us. We're not, he says, I'm not going to leave you orphans. Mm-hmm. But the name Jesus means God who saves. So to save us from what? Oh, so that's another question. To save us from what?
Ourselves.
for sure. Right?
Yeah.
We heard in the gospel last week, not this past Sunday, but the week before, that the prophet Isaiah said, if you remember, and it was repeated in the gospel, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light upon those who dwell in the land of gloom, a light has shone, right? So not only is he our salvation, but he's light.
Our light.
Yeah. You know, if you think about it, really, in all ages, humanity has need for salvation. And we have to humbly acknowledge that. We need salvation. And we're in search of the light because there is this inherent darkness. And there is inherent distress. And as I say all the time, is there a day that goes by where there is not some form of an attack to the mind, the body, the soul, or the spirit? Or as you reminded me last on Tuesday, I believe it was on the radio, that even if everything was fine, if you have absolute perfection in your life in this moment, everything is perfect. You've got your mind, your body, your soul, your spirit.
You're happy. Everything's okay.
Perfect harmony, peace. But somebody somewhere is suffering, and you're really a God-centered person. Then there is a certain suffering, you know. So you're not. This is how we're bound together. Again, on Tuesday we were talking about that. You know, by the blood of the Lamb, we're bound together.
It is something to think about because I guess sometimes the world wants you to be happy. The world wants you to be, you know, get this, and you're fine. And we kind of go through life thinking, okay, well, we have this, we're fine. But then the brother, the sister next to you who is not that way, how can you then be happy? You know what I mean? It's like I look at that as the body. I always look at that as the body. It's not like you have to just, okay, fall into whatever despair somebody has, but always be aware that there's others that are
compassion,
not.
Compassion.
Yeah.
To suffer with.
Yeah.
You said something there, too, about the, you know, and this is the deception, you know, that we're going to, again, go back to what Jesus said. In this world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble. This coming Tuesday, I believe, is a feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. I was already looking at the readings, and we'll share the reading on the radio. In fact, because I used it for the Sunday bulletin, because it's just a beautiful, St. Bernadette, as she writes, describing the apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and Our Lady, you know, told her to dig into the dirt, and the spring bubbles forth, comes forth, and has been doing so ever since, and it becomes the healing waters of Lourdes, and people go from all over the world. We'll talk about that next week, but she writes so beautifully about that. And of course, the Blessed Virgin Mary wanted a chapel built. She told the priest to build the chapel here, which is what she always, every time she appears anywhere, is that she seems to always ask for a chapel and to pray for a conversion, for the conversion of sinners. That we have that humility, really, to be open to the salvific and sanctifying power of God's Spirit. But the Our Lady told Saint Bernadette that the water is not for you, the healing waters of Lourdes, because she was very, very sick, and she died in her 30s, or early 30s, I think, and she became a nun. And the Blessed Virgin Mary said, in this world you will not have happiness, you will, but only in the next. I can't promise you. I think she said, I cannot promise you happiness in this life, but only in the next, because she was really persecuted.
Right.
Persecuted because of the apparitions. You know, they tried to, they basically tortured her with trying to make her deny the reality of what she saw, what she experienced, and yet they had this water, this spring that came forth out of nowhere, out of somewhere, but it was because Our Lady told her, you know, go there and, you know, wash in that water. But there was no water. She's just digging through that dirt. But this apparition, the apparitions, I think it was 15 days of apparitions, she knew that because of, you know, she was chosen by God to receive this, these apparitions of the Blessed Mother, and for the benefit of millions of people down through the ages, you know, since 1858, every year millions of people go to that shrine. It's a very beautiful shrine, beautiful sanctuary, and they bathe in those waters. But for the benefit of others, she was chosen, but she would suffer, having been chosen by God. And so Our Lady said, you know, I can't promise you happiness in this life. And when she was sick, Our Lady told her, well, the water's not for you. This is not for you. It's just very interesting, you know, when you think about that. But it's a very specific sharing in the sufferings of Christ and the sufferings of Our Lady. But in fact, we all do. And that, if we get to the presentation, that's, and I think I mentioned on Tuesday about the sword that pierces your heart, that the sword will pierce your heart, Simeon said, to Mary, the Blessed Virgin, because she gave her consent, she uttered her fiat, she said yes to be the mother of the Messiah, and he who would be a sign of contradiction would be rejected, and that a sword would pierce her heart, two, that the secret thoughts of many would be laid bare. She would fully participate in the Paschal mystery, the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And so it's, I guess what I'm saying is that for all of us, every one of us who choose this path, which is really the only path to eternal life, but by virtue of baptism, we're on this path. We have to give our consent, utter our fiat, say yes every day, renew that, which is to participate in the salvific work of Jesus. He is the Savior. He is salvation. He is light. God has called us from among the people to bear His light, right? To participate or to bring, in essence, to become what we, to become sacrament, to be the means by which God will mediate, reveal Himself through us to others. You know, as limited and as fragile and as sinful as we may be, but if we've given our consent sincerely, we've said, yes, Lord, I give you my life, sanctify me. Let your light pierce the darkness. Let me be an instrument of your grace. That should be the desire of all of us, but it does mean that we then choose willingly to participate in the sufferings of Christ. But the difference, though, is really that everybody does. Not everybody shares necessarily in the sufferings of Christ, but everybody suffers.
Right.
But because of our faith, our suffering is redemptive. It's a participation in redemptive grace, because we're sustained. Again, this is the peace that only God can give, even in the midst of the suffering. By the way, did you hear that? And then we'll take a break, Nick. I'm sorry. I don't remember, but this was the president's State of the Union address. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear the whole thing. I just heard mm-hmm. bits and pieces of it. But was it in Afghanistan, or there was a young woman who was tortured, or she was imprisoned? She eventually died.
The last guy that they killed is Salaman.
But if I have to go back and look, but I thought this was very interesting. Mm-hmm. Did she write, because he said this, that she found God in suffering?
Yeah, I think he did say that.
Yeah, I heard that, because that caught my attention. I wanted to go back to that, because in fact, where is God most found? But in suffering. Exactly. In suffering. And so if we can humble ourselves, and in suffering, whatever suffering we have to, everybody has to endure something. But if we can humble ourselves and allow God, because he comes close to those who suffer, because it's inherent in life, then that suffering becomes transformative, redemptive. And she said, as many of the saints have said, but it's in suffering that I found God. It's in suffering. Anyway, that's we got to take a break. We'll come back and move a little bit into the presentation. But to answer the question, who is Jesus? He is Savior. He is God who saves. He is light. And that was what we heard a couple of weeks ago. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Period. That's who Jesus is. He is light and salvation. Again, remember, Scripture says the light came into the darkness. Now, okay, John's Gospel. God, we repeat this over and over, and this used to be read at every Mass in the extraordinary form before the Council, Second Vatican Council, before the reform of the liturgy, but in the extraordinary form. I believe the Gospel of John was written or read at the beginning or at the end of the Mass, that God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn, but to save. The light came into the darkness. People rather chose the dark. They chose not to come into the light for fear their deeds be exposed. So again, right there at the beginning of the Gospel of John, you know, who is Jesus? His Savior, he saves, God who saves, and the light. And it's for us to humbly be receptive, open our hearts, acknowledge our need for Savior and our need for light in the darkness. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You've got your radio turned on to Winds of Change, where you can hear about your faith and hear about today's culture through the lens of Christ's teachings with Father Anthony Bush and others. Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. Keep Winds of Change on by going to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And Winds of Change offers thanks for your donation.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
If you live in the city of Chicago, aren't you a little tired of not having your child in school? If this is you, please listen to the following announcement. St. Stan's School has an amazing PK3 through 8th grade program focused on leadership and social-emotional learning, and is one of the only schools to implement the Reading and Writing Project of Columbia University and the University of Chicago. Everyday math across the board, PK3 through 8th, by our highly educated and dedicated teachers, your gifted child will be at a higher and deeper level of thinking and conceptual understanding, so they will have a full comprehension of what they're learning in any subject. St. Stan's students are academically challenged with advanced level placement opportunities as their test scores and high school admissions speak volumes. St. Stan's is an integral part of the Wicker Park community, where you feel welcome and at home with other families and friends who enjoy the same warm, friendly, and safe atmosphere for their children. We have small classroom size, which makes a difference in the whole learning experience. Many schools have excellent programs. At St. Stan's, we empower students to be excellent, learn, lead, love. It is a selective admissions process. Grades 1 through 8 are tested and interviewed. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's one block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. More information at ststandschicago.org. That's ststandschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So we were asking the question, you know, who, if somebody just off the street or somebody, a member of the family, because quite frankly, there are many, many families. It's not like it was. There's nothing new under the sun, but, you know, many people, I've always believed that God chooses at least one person in the family to carry the faith for everybody. Don't you think? More and more I think so.
Beginning to see that.
You know, I mean, there are those special families where there's the whole family unit is keeping together. Faith. They're united in the faith. But almost I want to say through no fault of their own, because people are just, it's just the society we live in is so, so seductive and so powerful. This radical secularism that, you know, it's so easy to get swept into other ways of thinking or living, or because God's way is not an easy way. And, you know, we want an easy way. We look for the, you know, we can't deal with that, that these things that are inherent in life. Like you said, you know, we're supposed to be happy, right?
Right.
Well, you got to be happy. If you're not happy, something's wrong with you. But why am I not happy? Got to be something wrong with me, right? Why do I feel this this certain emptiness, a certain loneliness? And you know, we feel it. We'll try to fill all that. We have what we call the inner sanctum of the soul, that inner dwelling place, the inner chamber, as Scripture calls it. Go to your inner chamber, shut the door, and commune with your Father. Don't even worry about what you have to say, because He knows already. But that means we need to shut the noise out. But it's hard, because that's a lonely place. Mm-hmm. And that loneliness can only turn to solitude if we go into it. We got to go into that place and go there in search of God. It's just a mutual quest. God searching us out, and we searching God, searching for God. And then when we have that encounter, then we discover that that's, you know, there's a solitude. So I can, and not only... But I'll crave that. I'll want that. So then we find ourselves wanting to pray, wanting to go into the desert or into the wilderness or into an out-of-the-way place, to use those places where Jesus went, where I can, you know, just move away from the noise and get it, go into the cave or go into the wherever it is. But that's the inner sanctum, into the inner chamber. And there... commune with God, you know, just you bring whatever you're dealing with, the joys, the sorrows, the light, the darkness, the fear, the anxiety, the distress, whatever, the good, the bad, the happy, the sad, you know, life and death, you bring it all into there, and you sit there with God, you know, with that belief. He is Savior. He is light, Jesus, through Jesus to the Father. And again, that was, again, reemphasized this past Sunday when we celebrated so beautifully. It was the Feast of the Presentation was on Sunday. We had the blessing of the candles and all that. And why was that? But because of the words of Simeon, the prophet. So Jesus, or Joseph and Mary, fulfilling the law, you know, that was something that we need to take note. In a time when people so often don't want the discipline of the faith, they don't want the law. Well, As I always remember, somebody said, well, yeah, God and I, we work it out our way, you know. Mm-hmm. Don't need the law. Well, no, we do. God has, in a sense, burdened us. It's a happy burden with a law, with a discipline. And the Blessed Virgin Mary and St. Joseph, the Scripture said very clearly, they fulfilled the law. And Jesus, in his life, did the same thing. The giver of the law fulfilled the law. But so in fulfilling the law, they 40 days after the birth of Jesus, they brought the baby to the temple for the presentation. And the Scripture says that Simeon the prophet, the old man, was moved by the Holy Spirit to go to the temple because he was, again, this is the fruit of prayer, you know, nurturing that intimacy with God. You learn to know how God speaks, you know, in his own mysterious way. Prayer is always a mysterious thing. But he had the assurance that he would not see death until he would behold the Messiah, right? And so he goes to the temple, moved by the Holy Spirit, and the Blessed Virgin Mary and St. Joseph are coming into the temple. And so he, again, moved by the Holy Spirit, he puts his eyes on the child, and he just, this is a beautiful, beautiful thing, the thing that he said, which is should be the desire of all of us. You know, certainly it's what I want for myself, and I would suspect you would want it for yourself, and I suspect everybody would want it for themselves, because the reality is we're not going to be here forever. So the day of our death approaches, and that's a fact, right? That's a fact. We've known each other, Tony, 30 years, when you think about it.
Yeah.
I guess right, so. Almost, or maybe not quite 30. No, maybe not quite 30, no.
No.
20, 26, 28 years. Anyway, it's a long time.
Yeah.
The point is, it's a long time.
I'd say 30. Yeah. I've been married 20 years now.
28.
Maybe 20, yeah.
28 years.
Okay.
28, because I've only been here. Well, I've been here 28 years.
Yeah.
I think. Anyway, the point is, yeah, whatever. It's a long time. The point is, we're never going to go back.
Right.
You know, we just keep moving forward. So mm-hmm. we're moving, you know, death is, if we talk about this mutual quest, mm-hmm. you know, our search for God, God's search for us, it's our movement toward God, God's movement toward us.
Right.
And so we're going only in one direction, only in one direction. Mm-hmm. So we can't go back. Nobody can go back. Everything moves forward, right, toward that definitive encounter. And so Simeon, and I say this should be the hope of us all. He so beautifully said. He says, "Master, now let me die in peace, for my eyes have seen the salvation of my people." Again, there's salvation. The salvation, Jesus, Savior, the salvation of my people, a light to the nation. Now, Master, you may let your servant die in peace, for my eyes have seen the salvation which you prepared in the sight of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people. So, you know, let me die in peace. Now I can go in peace knowing that salvation has come and this light will dispel the darkness. So again, those two words describe the identity of Jesus, salvation and light. It's a grace of God to recognize, again, our need for him in view of realities that cannot be denied. In this world, we are finite. We are fragile. You remember the beginning of the month, there was that plane that was downed in over Turin.
Mm-hmm.
So sad, but I was in Rome at the time. I believe I was in Rome. Either it happened right before, it happened before because I remember going on the flight to Europe, and mm-hmm. I was thinking about that, what it must have been like. I mean, these people were just, I think on their way to the Ukraine, and the missile just, you know, in an instant, you know, gone, shot out of the sky, you know, everybody. That's reality. That's sad reality. We can't deny that. Life is a very precious gift, but it's very fragile, and it's finite. And so when we think of the presentation, and we think of our need for salvation, that there is a light in this darkness, and that light is God, Jesus, it should be our hope that at the end of our journey, like Simeon, we'd have that confident joy of dying in peace for having seen Jesus, having allowed him into our lives, and having followed him. That's really all that matters in life, I think, you know, to see the Lord, to allow him into our lives, to follow him, as mysterious as it is, but it's faith, right? This is faith. This is what's most important, because there are many, many, many ways that the world provides for us to reduce stress, anxiety, the dark things in this world. Many, many ways we can try to fill that emptiness, and we do it all the time. But at the end of all things, there's only one who can satisfy our deepest hunger, satiate our deepest thirst, and that is Christ. When Mother Teresa made this this very, very popular in any chapel where you have the missionaries of charity. They were just at Mass. Was it this past Sunday or the Sunday before?
This Sunday.
This Sunday they were at Mass. The Sisters of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, the missionaries of charity, and in their chapel, years ago I worked with them quite often and had given retreats there and in New York and here in Chicago. But every chapel they have, there's the crucifix, and then they have the words, "I thirst." And the and Mother Teresa certainly made this very popular, or the understanding, what is this? But it's Jesus, when he cried, "I thirst," it's not to satiate his bodily thirst, but "I thirst for you. I thirst for your soul." So it's a mutual thirst, and only he can satiate that thirst. Only he can satisfy our hunger. He who saves, he who is light. So while we can spend most of our life trying to fill, to take, you know, we got to be happy. We got to, you know, if we can just accept a reality and find that joy that only God can give, find the peace that only God can give. And it's not then just me and God, but it moves us beyond ourselves into the lives of others. It creates within us, as you said, compassion. Mm-hmm. Then we understand what it is to, because we're able to face our own sufferings, and we by God's grace, a unique kind of compassion that wells up inside of us. So it's not a despairing thing, but it actually brings us on this journey with this desire to truly nurture this relationship with God. And when we're in the desert, all we taste is the dry dirt of the desert. We learn to just wait there because we know that God has come, remains with us. The world will not bring us the kind of happiness we most desire. We're going to have trouble in this world, but as Jesus says, have peace, because I've conquered it all. Salvation, Jesus, Savior, light, that we humble ourselves and open ourselves to God, Jesus, through Jesus to the Father, all by the grace and the power of the Spirit. But he needs our consent. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The
the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred.